What does it mean to be human? That may seem like obvious to us. It may also seem like, what kind of question is that? But it's a rather important question, because how people conceive of what it means to be human determines how they act. I mean, if you, for instance, there are some people who conceive of themselves as a kind of cosmic accident, that we're animals, just like other creatures on the planet. We have no more right to be here than they do. We evolved from some kind of lower life, and whatever may be said about us. And in fact, sometimes I think there's a conflict, because on the one hand, self-esteem is considered very important. So build up somebody's self-esteem. But how do you build up their self-esteem when they see themselves as just an accident? There's a line that I like from Mel Brooks, but other people don't seem to find it as funny as I do. But he said, "You are the ruler of this planet. You have great dignity, which of course distinguishes you from the slime from which you came." I think that is actually quite a profound statement as far as the way many people view themselves. If you see yourself as a little bit of slime who began to think, then what does that do? Whatever you say about self-esteem or morality, how can you have morality? I mean, when a lion hunts down its prey and devours it, the lion is not being immoral. The lion is just doing what in a sense was programmed to do, or how it was created to live, or how. So if we're just animals and uncreated, if we are just an accident, then what does that imply about the way we view ourselves, the way we view other people, and what we do? Why would there be any controls? The grisly mass murderer Jeffrey Dahmer said that when he was doing those terrible things, he really did believe that he was just an evolutionary accident. And so whatever he wanted to do made no difference. It simply made no difference. And while people may not thankfully go to the extreme of a Jeffrey Dahmer, still, don't we talk about the rat race? We talk about the law of the jungle. And a lot of people live as if they are in the jungle and there are no rights or wrongs, just animals. On the other hand, it is a very different view of things if you view yourself as coming from the hand of the Creator, and that you have a special place in the universe because he made you that way. So this morning I want to take some time to look at what it means to be human. And there are two points in particular that I want to emphasize. And these seem almost contradictory, but we need both of them, and we need to hold both of them, I believe, in tension. To get a picture of what it means to be human, it's good to go back to the beginning. So we'll go back to the book of Genesis, chapters 1 and 2. In Genesis chapter 1, there is a picture of God creating. There are seven creative days, 6 days in which he works, 1 day in which he rests. It doesn't mean he was tired, it just means he stopped working. But for the 6 days, he forms the universe as we know it, and then he fills the universe. And as he's filling the universe, he fills the universe and fills our world specifically with all sorts of creatures. And on the sixth day, after creating everything else, we then read Genesis 1, starting with verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. He blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath, the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was good. It was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. Notice, and this is the first point I want us to notice here, is we are created beings. We are not an accident. We are, and on the other hand, we are not somehow separate and apart from creation. We are part of creation. God begins by saying, let us make man. Verse 26, verse 27. So God created, and then it's repeated. He created, he created. God is the supreme creator of all that is, and we are part of this. Because of this, it shouldn't surprise us that there would be connections between us and the rest of creation. Because we're made out of the same stuff. We came from the same creative mind. It shouldn't be a surprise to us that there would be similarities between us and other things in creation, because we're part of creation. And it's important for us to get that idea down, that I'm not somehow separate and apart from creation. I'm not some kind of alien that flew in from some other realm, but I'm part of what is. And because I'm part of what is, I am affected by what is. What I mean by that is the there are certain conditions in this world, and they apply to me, and they apply to you. God is beyond all of this. He's not affected by what goes on in the world in the sense of he doesn't get sick. He doesn't get a cold, you know. He doesn't stub his toe. He does not have some kind of genetic problem that came on from his parents. But you see, we are affected by those kinds of things. Because we live in this world, we are part of all that goes on in this world. And we are affected in the same way as other living things in this world. And as part of that, we need to recognize, and on some level we know this, and yet I think people live all the live many times as if it's not so. We didn't create ourselves. We're not self-autonomous. God created us. We came from somewhere. We came from God. And because of that, we are never, no matter how much we may want to be, we are never totally independent of God. God the Creator knows us better than we know ourselves. God the Creator can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves and what no one else can do for us. You will notice at the beginning, after the passage that we read, it talks about how in chapter 2 it talks about God forming man from the dust of the ground. That's chapter 2, verse 7, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Then it goes on to talk about how he placed him in this garden called Eden, and he commanded him to tend the garden. But I want to go back to just the idea of God formed man out of the dust of the ground. We're dirt. I mean, I think it would really be nice if God had made us out of, I don't know, gold, silver, rose petals. But he didn't. Made us out of dirt. That should remind us of where we really are and who we really are on one level. Now, we're going to come to something else later, but I mean, we human beings are just human beings. God is God. We're not. Yet, so often, we may act as if we think we're God. God tells us what he wants from us, and we say, no, I think this will work better. Now, where did we ever get that idea? That somehow, even though we know what God said, that if we've got another thought, that would somehow be better, or better for us. Are you following me? We're dirt. We were made from dirt, and God made us. He knows us inside out. He knows everything about us. He knows the past, our past. He knows our future. We don't. We don't know all of those things, but he does. And so it's important that we keep ourselves in the right place before him. He is the creator. I am the created. I am, and because of that, I am dependent on him to understand the way life really is and what it really means and how it really should be lived. It was said that Philip of Macedon, who was the father of Alexander the Great, had two men who accompanied him wherever he went. And each morning, it was their duty, each morning to say to him, Philip, remember that you are but a man. And in the evening, they were to say to him, Philip, today have you remembered that you are but a man? It'd be kind of course, I don't know if I'd want somebody in my house all the time talking to me like that, but it'd be kind of nice to be reminded, wouldn't it? You're just a human being. That's all. And that's good, but it is not supreme. Only God is supreme. Whatever else it may mean to be human, it means that we are a part of this. We are a part of this world. We are affected by this world, and we can have an effect on the world. But we are dependent on the Creator, the one who gave us everything that is here. But that's not the whole story about us, because in Genesis we're told not only that we are created beings, a bit of dirt come to life, but notice chapter 1, verse 27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Of all creation, It is only said of human beings that we are made in the image of God. It's not said of mountains or whales or elephants or ladybugs or bears or dogs or cats. It's only said of us. And in fact, it's highlighted as you go through the days of creation. There's a certain pattern to them, but the pattern breaks when it comes to human beings. I mean, there's this pattern. You just read through it, you'll see there's this pattern that repeats itself. But then when it comes to human beings, it begins with verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. There's a difference. I think it's meant to jangle the reader, to say something different is happening here. And while we are part of creation, we are the only part of creation that is said to be made in the image of God. And that's quite an amazing thing. In Psalm 8, the psalmist says, what is man that you're mindful of him? My paraphrase of that would be, what are human beings that you'd give them a second thought? And in the context of Psalm 8, he's just been talking about the greatness of creation. And when we look at the stars at night, when we get out a telescope and look into the heavens, it's easy to be awed by the sheer magnitude of the universe that we live in. And from that standpoint, what are human beings? Little ants running around this little planet, in this vast universe? What's man that you'd give him a second thought? And yet the psalmist says, in effect, but you did. You made him a ruler. We are a ruler under the authority of God. But right after, in Genesis 1:26, right after him saying, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them have rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. He made us rulers. Now we are rulers under his authority. We're not independent rulers. Because we are part of creation, then what we do needs to be done in harmony with what God wants. So we were made rulers of this planet for our good, and even for the good of the planet. But we were not made dictators. To use, to abuse, to is not ours. We were, in fact, maybe a good word to you would be stewards. A steward takes care of somebody else's property. We're stewards. This isn't our property in the sense of we didn't buy it. We don't deserve it. God created it, and then he said, you take care of it. And so we take care of it. And that comes, I believe, partly from the fact that we're made in God's image. We're the only ones who have the rightful place to be stewards because of that. Now, there's a certain mystery to image of God, and it's been hotly debated for centuries. And whatever else may be said about it, what it means is that the divine nature in some way is stamped on us. Now, we're not God. We're not going to grow up to be God. But there's a certain likeness of God that he's placed on us. And since he's a spirit, we know that that likeness isn't physical. So what is it? Well, human beings, I think we know. We know intuitively that somehow human beings are different from other creatures, other living things on the planet. It is human beings alone that can hear and have a free choice to obey or not to obey the Creator. What I mean is, a lion just does what a lion's been created to do. A lion doesn't make a choice of, is this the will of God that I chase this antelope or not? But we have a choice. And in fact, again, in Genesis 2, when God put Adam in the garden and commanded him to care for it, and told him not to eat of the one tree, he could eat of anything else, but there was this one tree he wasn't eating. See, those are commands. And that you give commands to somebody who's got a choice. No point in commanding somebody if they got to do what you say. I mean, got to do. The consequences of not obeying a command can be nasty, but people can disobey them. And so God commands Adam, and he says, in fact, Genesis 2:16, you are free to eat of any tree of the garden, but you must not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He doesn't somehow program Adam so Adam can't eat from that tree. Part of being made in the image of God, I believe, means that we can choose. God makes choices, and he's given it to us. We are not programmed. We are not robots. Sometimes when it comes to the problem of evil in the world, people say, well, couldn't God have just created everything so that there wouldn't be any disease, there wouldn't be any death, people wouldn't do bad things to each other? So there just wouldn't be any suffering, any pain. And my answer to that is, yes, God could have done that. But there wouldn't have been any humans on the planet. Because part of being human means we've got choices and we're free to choose. because we're made in the image of God. But being made in the image of God also means we think, and we don't just think about our next meal or whether we're going to do this or whether we're going to do that. We think about big thoughts. We think about God and eternity. We have choices. God speaks. He reveals himself in his word, and he gives us a choice. Will you obey or will you disobey? Will you go down this path that I don't want you to go down? Or are you going to go down this path, which I want you to go down? But I'm not going to make you go down the right path. I'll give you a choice. And we human beings of all creation are the only ones who in our choices have a choice to love or to hate. We've got the choice. We of all creation have the choice to follow Jesus Christ and become like him, or to reject that and go in our own way. We have a choice. And being made in the image of God gives us such a privilege and such dignity. Whatever, the thing about the image of God is it's stamped on you whether you like it or not. I mean, it's part of you. You cannot separate it from you. Oh, you can mar it, and we all have. You can really mess the image up, but you can't destroy it. Nothing that you've ever done or has ever been done to you can take from you the image of God that's stamped on you. And because of that, you have a place that is absolutely unique in this world and in this universe. And because of that, you are precious to God. More precious than anything else in his creation. Because he stamped his own divine design on you. You are the plan of God. And every person that you meet has the image of God on them as well. The implications of this are so tremendous. If we see ourselves simply as animals, and we're in the jungle, and it's survival of the fittest, then we will live in a certain way. And a lot of people live that way, and it's kind of the world we got. Okay? But if on the other hand, you really do see yourself as being made in the image of God, created, okay, so you're a created being. You're not independent of God, but you're made in his image. And being made in his image, you are meant to become like him. Frederick Rückert wrote the following. In every man there lives an image of what he ought to be. As long as he is not that image, he ne'er at rest will be. I think people, whether they realize it or not, whether they understand it or not, because we're made in the image of God in a very real sense, we are all seeking that image. Seeking the image that was marred by our own sin. Augustine said to God, we were made for you, and restless are our hearts within us until at last they rest in you. There is something. There is a connection between us and God because of his image stamped on us that keeps calling us. We may listen or not listen, but it keeps calling us to something higher and something better. Because we're made in the image of God, we are meant to grow up to be like God. And when Jesus came into the world, he gave us the perfect human picture of what it means to look like God. And that's why perhaps the most basic concept in the New Testament of following Jesus Christ is imitating him, becoming like him. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul is speaking of the new life in Christ. And in verse 10, Colossians 3:10, he says that we are to put on the new self. Isn't that good? We need to be new. He's talked about putting off the old self in the verse before. Now we put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. In Jesus Christ, that marred image is restored. And in restoring that image, he calls us to be like him. What's it mean to be human? Well, to be human means that we are created beings, but it also means that we are made in the image of God, and because of that, we're called to the highest standard, to actually be like him in our thinking, in our words, in our actions toward other people. Highest standard, best standard, and the only standard that that changes people and in the end will really change this world for the good. Would you bow with me for a prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for the knowledge that we are made in your image, which gives us great dignity and potential. At the same time, Father, we thank you for the knowledge that we are just humans. Humans made in your image, but still humans, and we're dependent on you. We are dependent on you for the vision that can transform our lives and for the power to transform our lives. Father, we thank you that in this world where your image has been so marred that you sent Jesus as the perfect image to restore the image within us. Father, help us to rededicate ourselves continually to being your people and to living for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.